Robotnik rumbles in his red pajamas.
Robotnik rumbles in his red pajamas.
Hi, Caleb.
Hi, Nick.
Because this is a very special episode about wintertime and holidays, I want to give you the gift of you don't have to come up with an opening for the show.
Oh my God. Oh, what a release. I was like, I've been racking my brain all day. I've been trying to come up with one. You coming to me here with this break, with this gift. First of all,
yes.
Best gift I've received so far here a few weeks before Christmas. First gift I've received so far. So, and also, I'm just going to relax for the rest of the intro. I'm just going to let you take it.
You can just chill and let me handle it.
Yeah, please.
Let me slowly unwrap this present for you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just leaning back. Someone is like, they've taken some of the wrapping paper that you've ripped off and are like waving it like a giant leaf for me in this recliner.
Yes, exactly. Do they let you receive presents in jail? I'm asking you because you're in jail.
Oh, in the context of this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing. And I know that doesn't seem like a good gift to give, but...
Yes, and they let you receive gifts, but they have to be like... they can't be a cake with a knife in it, you know?
Oops. There can't, okay. Let me come up with a different one then.
Yeah.
I got one. I got a different one. My setup was that you were in jail, but my present was a cake with a knife in it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Not a joke, I guess... boy, it's really weird to be in this position and not the other position.
How's it going over there?
Not super good, sometimes, like, okay, so there's, like, rules for our show, right?
Right.
You're supposed to start with a joke that doesn't sound like a joke, and then half the time isn't really a joke.
Am I still in jail, or are we...
Yeah, you're in jail.
Okay.
Yeah. we're on the other side of the glass from each other. And as your attorney, I have to advise you that if you want to make it home for the holidays, then you shouldn't break any more Sonic laws. I didn't do it good. Thank you for this very authentic laugh about my joke.
I felt like the gift that I can give back to you is that usually you have this very big, very energetic laugh that is usually not mine. And so I was trying to give you back the laugh that you give.
Thank you very much.
And you know who else gives a laugh like that?
Who?
Santa Claus. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Your Two Show. This is a podcast featuring me, Caleb Zane Hewitt.
And me, Nick Splendor.
Where we talk about children's cartoons, most especially Sonic the Hedgehog. And today we're doing a special episode for Radio Sega's Winterfest.
Ooh, it's true. Radio Sega's Winterfest is a special yearly event where they just do a bunch of different programming about winter and holiday-related materials. And so it's a lot of fun. You can go check out the rest of the schedule at radiosega.ga/winterfest, or just go to radiosega.net and click some links. The only thing, if I could just put something in the suggestion box, the only thing they could do differently next year is call it Winterfest.
Yeah.
And let it be only about Sonic. But other than that...
A really, really great, yeah.
So, love it completely, and we'll do our part to, like, bring Sonic to the table.
But we will also do our part to improve it by, from this point forward, referring to it as Winterfest exclusively.
Just for our, just to warm it up, like, yeah, get it, just break it in. We're going to break in the shoe a little bit.
And to give sort of, like, an example where if you, like, want to change it, or, like, you want to do it better next year, you'll at least hear what it's like. And also, it doubles as, like, you can just use this episode again, and we are ahead of the game.
That's right. We'll be the inaugural episode of Radio Sega's Winterfest.
Today, we watched an episode of The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. We skipped ahead a little bit from the point that we actually were at in the show and decided to watch a Christmas episode.
Because inconveniently, the next episode in line was not about Robot Santa.
No.
But that being said, there is one, so we just skipped to that one. It's called, what is it called?
Sonic's Christmas Blast.
Nice. This is a cute episode. I liked it a lot.
I would like to say that, you know, the Sonic the Hedgehog shows give us a lot of feelings. They sometimes they teach us about life. Sometimes they show us how the world should be. Uh-huh. And then sometimes they just make you feel just like the least unique, completely unoriginal.
No.
We joke a lot about how the seeds for all culture are in Sonic the Hedgehog TV shows. And it turns out the seeds for, you know, just like a very famous and popular novel that I personally wrote was also... built in to this episode. So
it's pretty great, actually. I mean, it is very different in its materials and outcome, but yeah, Caleb's book Top Elf does feature Santa announcing that he's stepping down, and it does end with Sonic the Hedgehog becoming Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So even though those two things are similar, it's pretty much different besides that.
And if you want to know exactly what we mean, you'll have to hit us up on the other side of this music hit for the recap. So the episode begins where the opening sequence and the theme song itself are actually unusual for the show.
Mm-hmm.
There usually is one of this like Hall of the Mountain King songs with this like weird classical music medley that then for like 1 second does the but the song itself is like a little bit more Christmassy. There's some jingle bells in there, and we're getting to see actually what turned out to be clips from the rest of the episode.
Right. I thought they were unique animations prepared for just for the introduction, where we get to see Sonic swoop around the world, presumably delivering presents even in the early clips, which is cute. And then he even has time to cut out a circle of ice around a big cannon and some robots, and then just like tease a seal who he has flipped up into the air.
Apparently that seal must have been like driving the machine or something. I can't tell if the creators of the show or if the animators of the show didn't realize that the little animals inside of Robotnik's machines weren't like driving them.
Right.
And also that it, like if a baby seal was in a small ladybug monster, then a big tank must be driven by a giant seal. Is the logic that I am thinking was happening here?
But I honestly didn't even think of that when we saw that. I thought the seal just got flipped up out of the water, but I love the idea that it was powering this cannon and that I guess in that case Sonic is liberating, and when he waves this to the seal, he's just like, you're welcome. But I saw it as like, I give no consideration to the lives of sea creatures, I hate water, bye.
So the actual premise of the show is that Santa has appeared on television, and to the viewer at home, it's very obvious that Santa is a robot. But to the entirety of Robot-tropolis, which is an interesting variant on the like Robotropolis and Mobotropolis, like all these different versions of this phrase we've heard. But Santa has declared that he's going to retire. Sounds familiar, but whatever. And the and he has announced that his successor is going to be Robotnik Claus, who is Robotnik wearing a poorly fitting Santa suit, which also sounds familiar, and I just don't care.
I just don't care.
It's apparent right away that the citizens of Robotropolis are not super excited about this. We get to see them through the eyes of a kid, this one particular child whose name I'm not sure that we...
I don't think they say it ever.
...get. And the kid is very upset because he loves Santa and he's not sure about Robotnik Claus. And that gets confirmed because in the next scene we find out that Robotnik is changing some rules about Christmas. When you go to sit in his lap... So Robotnik is sitting on a Christmas throne in front of a line of children.
Yep.
And he's asking the children what they plan to give Robotnik Claus for Christmas.
Yeah. And admonishing the parents to, like, make sure you buy gifts for Robotnik Claus. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just totally flipped it around, funneling from the 99% to the 1% of Robotniks.
And this kid from before, this kid immediately punches Robotnik Claus in the stomach when he finds out this is the case. he's sitting in his lap and he decides to punch him in the stomach and is very upset about it. Robotnik sends him to a factory.
He's like, let's lock this kid up.
the next time we see the kid is like two scenes later, and he is catching Sonic. But I guess I should catch us up on what Sonic has been doing.
I guess
Sonic.
Sonic, it does feel like this kid is the star of this episode.
He really is.
Yeah.
Sonic talks to Sally Acorn, or should I say Sonic talks at Sally Acorn?
Yes.
Because he tells Sally, like, okay, just like last year, like, we're not going to do any presents, no presents at all, totally fine. Mm-hmm. And then Sally doesn't get a chance to say anything. Sonic leaves, Tails comes up and asks, like, what's going on? And Sonic says, I'm going to Robotropolis to buy Sally a million presents, because last year she got me a ring when she wasn't supposed to give me anything, and it was very embarrassing for me, and so now I'm going to embarrass her by getting her a lot of presents.
And the question is here, does Sonic realize that he and Sally Acorn are engaged?
Right.
And because I don't think he does. I think he just, it was like, oh, cool, a gift.
I really think that's what it is she was like, we're not going to give each other presents, and then she brought the ring, and she was like, but we are going to give each other the present of an eternal life together.
That's right.
And Sonic didn't realize. He just took the ring and ran, put it on his finger, and tried not to get hit because he'd lose it. You know?
Exactly, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like no more jokes to do about the ring.
No, it's bad. I'm sorry that I even put it here.
It's fine.
That.
We have to.
Here on Radio Sega, the audience most likely to be sick of that joke.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but basic Sonic facts. No, but you're right. We were all thinking it. It's good to have it out in the air.
Mm-hmm. Sonic goes to Robotropolis with Tails, even though Tails warns him it's dangerous.
Yes.
And when he gets there, the kid psts at him from behind a statue. It's like, Mr. Sonic, Mr. Sonic.
And Sonic's like, I don't know any Mr. Sonic, but you can just call me regular Sonic. I just would like to take one moment to note how absolutely adorable this version of Tails is.
Oh my gosh,
and
it's so cute.
Sonic media without Tails is
wrong. It's
not
wrong.
As good. I like Sonic Underground, but that's what we've been watching lately, and seeing Tails again is just a cool draft of air.
It's such a treat. Tails is the most perfectly designed being in the world, especially this Tails.
So cute. Mm-hmm. All right, so
the kid says very quickly in three sentences, hi, Robotnik has taken over and become Santa Claus. He sent me to a factory, and then I escaped the factory. Can you help us save Robotropolis?
Yeah. And that is a story we need to tell. Like, who's written my fanfic about this boy?
How did this kid get out of the factory? That's not even covered even a little bit.
No, he's like very cool, apparently. This kid's really strong. Confronted with Robotnik, he punches Robotnik faster than anybody else has in the history of Sonic media.
Right, he immediately knew.
Like, he meets Robotnik, they exchange two sentences, and he punches him in the gut. Like, how dare you be this evil? I loved it.
It was amazing. And then the kid somehow just, like, busts out of cyber jail.
Yeah, and this kid's unstoppable.
The weird thing, too, is that in the writing of this episode and in the show itself, there was no reason for him to get sent to this place. Like, we never see a shot of it.
The kid
doesn't have any secrets about it that he can tell Sonic later. Like, there is no reason for it. The kid just appears in another episode.
They could have just thrown him out of the, like, sit on Santa's lap area and then see him outside after that. But no, we have to put this frame narrative in place of, like, this kid was sent to jail, busted out, and I admire him. I admire him, and he's great for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, he's really great. His faces are great. His, like, entire row of, like, front teeth is really good.
Yes.
He has, like, 8 front teeth.
Mr. Sonic! Mr. Sonic!
I don't know any Mr. Sonic, but it sounds like you need help.
Everything's terrible. Santa retired.
Santa retired?
Yeah, and he put Robotnik Claus in his place. And Robotnik Claus sent me to a robot factory. And I escaped. And his robots are after me, and
watch it! Ah!
Did you say Santa put Robotnik Claus in his place?
Yes, and you've got to find Santa and tell him how wrong he was.
After that, what happens?
we see that Robotnik has further flipped Christmas on its head and is putting a million chimneys on his own house to make sure that every person on Earth has a chimney to go through in order to drop a present under his tree, which I find to be an actually like very hysterical reversal.
That's the funniest part of this very funny episode.
Yes.
Like, I thoroughly enjoyed this cartoon, but that's killer. When he's like, we see them constructing chimneys, like laying the bricks, and then it's zooming out, and we see there are so many chimneys on this building. Then Robotnik and somebody else are in like a helicopter sort of flying over, mm-hmm. and Robotnik's like, I need more chimneys. And then the other guy's like, but we've already made a few dozen. And he's like, I need 1 million chimneys so that each human can fit down one. Legs first, followed by the butt, followed by the rest of the body. Finally, the arms, which are holding a gift for me. I need each of them to have one chimney for their entire long bod to slide down through and then present me with a present.
This chimney was made for me.
And I was made for receiving gifts.
He refers to that robot, the one you're talking about that was in the helicopter with him, as Toady Robot. He's like horrible Toady Robot. He says at one point, like, this
I missed that.
I'm pretty sure, I don't remember exactly the phrase he uses for it, but he like refers to it as like a sycophant. And I don't know if he was just telling it off or if that's its actual name, but it's the only thing we have.
That must be its model. Mm-hmm. Like, there are a lot of purpose-built robots in this episode. This show has a lot more of like a Robotnik as Dr. Wily approach.
Yeah.
I guess more like Sonic Boom does later too. He mm-hmm. he makes a lot more purpose-built robots. I like it. I like them all. I like the gumdrop-headed robot.
Yes, and it's an interesting juxtaposition with Sonic Underground, where pretty much all of his robots look exactly the same.
Yeah,
they're all swap bots.
Yep.
So Sonic goes to save Santa Claus. So Sonic fights a couple of times with Scratch and Grounder, and during one of these fights, Sonic puts on a Bugs Bunny outfit as a garbage man. But the garbage man, he's a garbage man who just wheels a like regular sized trash can around. Like the idea, I guess, is that Sonic had to look like a garbage man with whatever he could find on the street, and he couldn't find a truck or anything.
He just grabbed like a dolly and a regular street trash can and put it on. But he also found a mustache.
He did find a mustache, and I bet he found it in the trash can. That's my guess.
I guess so. I guess it might have even... Yeah, we have to speculate as to the specific material composition of the mustache. Mm-hmm. But is this the first time we've ever seen young Uncle Chuck?
I was thinking about that. Because I think this is a seed planting the truth, mm-hmm. which is that if you look at Uncle Chuck and if you look at Sonic, they're pretty similar. But when you put that mustache on Sonic, I think it's impossible to ignore that actually they look very close to the
almost,
same person.
Almost identical.
We've joked a lot about the obvious like plot, like metaphysical like idea behind Uncle Chuck being Sonic, and how that is definitely possible in terms of like, you know, and before we've talked about it, like, oh, did he get some sort of reconstructive surgery? Like, did he get like, why does he look so different?
Yes.
But, you know, honestly, when you put the mustache on Sonic, they look so close to the same person.
No surgery required. Like, mm-mm. This is him. It's him. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like Lois Lane seeing Sonic take off his glasses for the first time, mm-hmm. and realizing that my coworker, Sonic the Hedgehog, is actually Sonic the Hedgehog.
Except
he's actually Super Sonic. That joke's already there. I didn't need to do it.
I just can't believe that we never saw it before. You know, we saw the truth of the matter. We saw straight to the heart of it. But this piece really clicked for me today.
We were missing this puzzle piece. Mm-hmm. This one special brown puzzle piece that you fit right over Sonic the Hedgehog's mouth area.
This is somebody's like first time they're hearing us. And they're like, what in the world are they talking about?
You'll just have to go back and listen to our old episodes to catch up on
Chuckgate.
Chuckgate! And now that we've plugged our old episodes, I guess this is as good a time as any as to update everyone with an ad break that this is part of Radio Sega's Winterfest.
No, we still haven't finished the
Winterfest 2018.
No.
Is going on now, and you can go to radiosega.ga/winterfest. They misspelled it in the URL. It's F-E-S-T, but it is pronounced Winterfest out loud.
Yes. Yeah,
so we want to thank Radio Sega for including us in that, and terms and conditions do apply.
Hopefully we are not even a third of the way through this episode, so I...
Mm-mm. Nope, we're going to do another couple of ad breaks, and they're going to be ads for the same thing. And back to the show. Now, Caleb, what happened after that part of the recap, if you can stop laughing for 1 second? Be serious about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic beats up Scratch and Grounder, tricks them with his Garbage Man outfit, and Scratch and Grounder very happily tell him the location of Santa Claus, which is 7 miles south of the North Pole.
Really good directions.
They go there, but they forget to pick up Tails' long johns on the way, and so Tails is very cold, and I'm mad that they did not protect that sweet baby boy.
I know, dress him up, and I did want to see him dressed up in long johns!
And we see that moment that we talked about earlier where a big cannon wheels out of a giant igloo base.
Yep.
The cannon fires at them. Sonic dodges around the icicles that it shoots into the ground, big ice pillars.
Yes.
And he carves a hole in the ice by running around the cannon. The cannon flips a bunch of times, falls into the water, and defying gravity, logic, and any previously established existence of a seal, a giant seal leaps into the air. Sonic looks at the seal, gives it a little wave. The seal makes kind of a ooh face, and then falls into the water. And that sequence
sure does.
Is complete.
Now, here's my question. Given the subsequent events of this episode...
Mm-hmm.
Is this the creator's way of saying, this isn't canon, baby? Are they saying, we're destroying canon right now, we're going to put the canon in the ocean, because what's about to happen bypasses the laws of nature and of Sega?
So you're saying this is the full-grown seal moment. This is when they, like, because they say, you know, that if this was really Sonic the Hedgehog, if this was not a dream, if this wasn't, like, a fictional piece... This would be a baby seal.
Bingo.
We're showing you an adult seal now, so you know you're in the dream. You know you're in the dream.
He's the big seal is Sonic's Inception dreidel.
Yes, exactly.
And that's how you know it's there. It's
if you ever need to know that, this is actually a really good trick for you guys at home. If you think you might be in a dream, if you ever need to know if you're in a dream.
Run around fast in a circle.
Destroy a tank and see what's inside.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a tank, and if you destroyed it, you're probably right now in a dream.
You're probably the dream.
You're probably in a dream. But then, just in case, if there is a baby seal in there, not a dream. If there is a big seal in there, dream. Period.
Yep. And that's one way you can know. All right. So, having established that we are now not only fully out of canon, but we have broken the seal, so to speak, on a new reality.
Okay.
Okay.
Breaking the seal.
Then what happens?
They save Santa. Who looks a lot like Robot Santa. Like, to be fair, they did a really good job making Robot Santa.
That Robot Santa was pretty accurate. There were just, like, a few extra lines on the face, and I think a couple of, like, bolt holes on some of the limbs, but, like, for the most part, I mean, I would have been fooled.
This is an edit, I guess, that I have for if you're making a Santa suit in the future. If you don't want to be interpreted as a robot, make sure that you're showing at least a little bit of skin, normally, like most of the time.
Okay.
So that then, when the robot is being you and they try to put on the outfit, they'll see... that there's metal under there and not skin. That's just the thing that they could have done, but they didn't do.
Good point.
We're teaching everybody a lot of, like, really useful life lessons today.
In my annual letter to Santa Claus, I will include that note. You don't need to worry about doing it. I'll do it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate
You're
that.
Welcome.
But if he gives you an extra present for it,
uh-oh,
that's mine.
Well, we'll see. Well, I guess we'll see.
They
like Santa rewarding positive comments. If Santa Claus gets, like, he looks at the comment field at the bottom of this year's announcement of Christmas on his website, and he's getting just, like, a lot of really positive feedback from people who are like, you know, I think you could do it a little bit differently. Have you considered?
Do you ever think about how Santa's kind of like a mod?
Yeah, you're right. He is one of he's the original mod. Mm-hmm. If you act good, you get to stay in the chat room and receive the presents. And if you don't, you get banned.
Coal banned.
You get coal banned.
They save Santa Claus and they go back to the North Pole where the elves are waiting, and they say that all of the presents are gone, and all of their stuff is gone, and there's no way they're going to be able to save Christmas by that night.
Then the episode is over.
The episode is over, and Christmas was not saved, and this was really kind of a bummer.
Yep.
No.
Oops.
Got you.
Got me.
Sonic the Hedgehog is there, and he's not about to let this Christmas go to waste.
Nope. If you have something you need to do in a hurry,
mm-hmm.
Have you considered inviting Sonic the Hedgehog? It's like Santa doesn't even know who he's dealing with in this. Like, he's like, do you know what show you're in?
Santa's like, we don't have any time to do this. And like everyone that knows Sonic like looks at each other and it's like
they look at each other, they smirk a little bit, and they turn mm-hmm. to face him, and he's already done it.
Sonic really does, though. He runs to Robotnik's factory, he picks up all the toys, he very quickly and easily takes them around the entire world a few times, drops them off for everyone, and it still has time to buy toys for Sally and drop them off on her.
Clarify that for me. Did we see him go to a store and pick those up? Or are these pre-wrapped gifts that he has skimmed off the top of the Santa pile?
Here's what I believe. Here's what I think, and mm-hmm. I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. I have a full theory already formulated about Please. This. So we see that Robotnik has not only taken the gifts from the families, he's also taken everything out of all the stores.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So the stores are empty. People's houses are empty. There's a good solid amount of presents and stuff that probably needs to go back to the stores
uh-huh.
rather than, oh man,
yeah.
I just realized that the existence of the fact that Robotnik, who now had control of Santa's factory and had uh-huh. control of all of it, needed people to go buy presents at stores makes me wonder about the actual power of Santa.
Oh.
Also combined with the fact that just by apparently inheriting the mantle of Santa, he was allowed to establish these rules that people had to then give him presents. Like, what exactly were Santa's powers? And if he was just doing this as a dictator, then did he need the whole Santa gimmick? Or wow, okay,
wow, there are a lot of questions. The one question I do want to address is the chimney base where yes. we see a Robotnik building out his army of chimneys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's at the actual North Pole.
No, it's not. Because the North Pole is where we saw Santa and Sonic sitting around.
So this is so I think there is something maybe magical to infer here that Santa does have certain powers, or that his mm-hmm. arrangement with all the elves and everyone is for some reason, even though Robotnik has claimed to usurp the role of Santa, he has not taken over residence at the mm-hmm. North Pole and made anyone there do anything.
That's true. He just took all the stuff. Yeah.
Oh, but he did take it. But somehow he only took, like, what they're... What? I don't know. My question is, if Sonic goes around and, like, retrieves all of these presents that are, like, wrapped, how does he know what needs to be taken back to the store? Does he... Is Sonic so fast, now that he's gone through these trials and unlocked the secret of top speed or whatever,
which we also didn't explain yet,
whatever, yeah. I mean, he like does a snowboard and then a hang glide,
well,
and there's a ring, and then okay, you want to go into more detail?
I do, because I think this is the wildest stuff in this okay. episode.
All right,
so it's mentioned a couple times throughout the episode and shown to us that last year Sally Acorn gave Sonic a ring that had a strange symbol on it that mm-hmm. he didn't know what it meant and he didn't know why, and there was a bird at the beginning of the episode that talked to Sonic for a minute and was like, oh, what's going on? I love mysteries.
I love that bird.
I thought he was going to be a new character in the episode, but he was not there for the rest of it.
Sonic's just like, don't tuck yourself out, bud, and like catches him, puts him back in the nest, and then they run off. But
yeah, and then later on, Santa sees the mark and is like, oh, I recognize that mark. Takes him to the catacombs beneath the North Pole
yep.
and shows him the drawings that the indigenous North Pole people did there.
I guess the ancient denizens.
Yes, and so there's like a series of markers, including a thing that literally is like hand plus ring equals, uh-huh. and then that like that Speed Force symbol that's yes. on Sonic's ring. First of all, the math, the ancient people had the same math as us, I guess. Second, Santa has apparently studied these for years and has never understood what they meant.
Uh-huh.
And now knows that Sonic has to do a series of trials to gain the Speed Force, which will allow him to go around the Earth in seconds, which we already sort of felt like he could do.
Yeah. I guess he gets faster, but they don't really, we don't see him like imbued with any new power. Mm-hmm. He just like snowboards, hang glides, drops a snowboard on Scratch and Grounder, and then winds up next to Santa, who's like, great, now that you've done that, you're the true speed champion. Unfortunately, we shouldn't have done that all day long, because now we have even less time than we had before.
That's classic stakes-raising writing. That's how you do it.
Uh-huh.
Is you make the story require something, and then you say, oh, man, we wasted our time, and now you only have 2 minutes.
Yeah, we shouldn't have done that stuff that we decided to do instead. And then Sonic, he's so fast that he is able to do it. And then what else happens? Oh, yeah. We should also mention that when he takes all the presents from Robotnik, he also takes Robotnik's Santa costume off, just leaving him in his boxers, which is just like super embarrassing.
So embarrassing. I cannot believe that that happened to Robotnik.
His boxers had hearts all over them. And the only critique I have of this whole episode, in fact, the only critique I have of really Sonic the Hedgehog in general,
is your only one?
In this episode, Robotnik's boxers should have had Sonic's head all over him instead of hearts. That's it. It's just a missed opportunity. Just a missed opportunity. But if I want to uncritique that critique, in the 1990s when this was made, did they have novelty print boxers yet?
Or no, they only had the heart print
they
ones.
Only had the heart. We hadn't invented it yet. Okay.
Yeah, when you, okay. There's actually boxers, in order to be comfortable at all, there was a certain fabric that was the only fabric we'd figure out how to use to make boxers, and they had a heart print on them, and that's why all the cartoons, all the old cartoons you see have heart prints.
Like, at a certain point in history, and just think about this, at a certain point in history, there was no Sonic the Hedgehog. That's terrifying.
That's wild.
You go earlier than that, there was no such thing as a cassette tape or a Walkman. You go back before that, there was no such thing as a Talkboy. That's a Christmas. And then
right before that, and right before the Talkboy was the iPhone, and that's but right before that, it's not even there anymore.
And then there's like not even an iPhone, and then like it wasn't until I guess. Wait a second, is this an ad? No, no, it's not.
Okay. That's the episode, pretty much. That's the recap.
Pretty much. Oh, one final fact. After Sonic returns all the presents to their rightful places under the tree, he goes back to the North Pole, and Santa is like, you know what? You're Santa now.
Oh, yeah. And then Sonic turns to the screen, and Tails says, and Sonic says, Happy Christmas to all of you. And Sonic's like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Tails does a Sonic Says meme.
According to this episode, Sonic the Hedgehog is our current Santa Claus.
That's what we have to, yeah.
This came out in 1996, so you can assume that every Christmas from 1996 forward, any gift that you've received has actually been given to you by Sonic the Hedgehog and his team.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
The number one thing that I want to talk about is Sally Acorn and her mysterious ring. Because Sally Acorn does not get any lines in this episode. It's obvious they didn't want to pay her voice actress for participation in this movie. But I am curious about this ring and the implications of her having this, like, strange, prophesied object that she gives to Sonic one Christmas prior.
Extremely good note. Yes. Where did she get the ring?
Mm-hmm.
Did she understand its import? And was Sally supposed to become Santa Claus?
Right, so Sally was trying really hard to tell Sonic something this whole episode.
Uh-huh.
Every time he's about to leave, they show her like, ooh, like, please let me get a word in.
Raising a finger,
And I wonder if, so we talked about it maybe that they were going to get married, but what if it just was her ring?
Uh-huh.
And Sonic, like, took it because she, like, pulled it out to show him, and he was like, you got me a present? And then he spent the whole year angry for having done gifts when she said she wasn't going to, even though he just made up that they were gifts.
Yeah, I love that. She was not giving him a gift. She said, Sonic, I want to be very clear about something. No gifts this year. I'm not going to give you a gift, and you're not going to give me a gift, okay? And he's like, okay, Sally. And then she pulls out a ring that she's going to put on her own hand because she's like, I've been very clear with him. He will not attempt to take this object from me. And then he's like, oh, cool, a ring. I love rings. Thanks, Sal.
And every time she has ever pulled anything out of her pocket in front of him, he has taken it and thought it was for him. he has a very wide understanding of where Christmas falls and when you give Christmas presents. And basically anytime he's like, oh, this is a little late for Christmas, but thank you so much. And she's like, no, that's the Walkman I just bought.
This, as an extrapolation of Sonic's self-centeredness and his impatience, is like disgusting. The implication that he's like, he just doesn't understand property boundaries. Mm-hmm. He doesn't understand that anything doesn't belong to him. And this has implications for him running through the world, just grabbing every ring in sight. Like, maybe in this world, maybe in Sonic the Hedgehog games, he's not supposed to have those rings.
Those are not his rings.
They're not for him.
And the connection to the prophecy. So if she was supposed to be Santa Claus, had she found this ring? Did she know that she was going to be Santa Claus? What is the deal?
What is the deal?
And why did they put this thread in this episode? Yeah. Why not just have Sonic like run around the world and save the day? I guess the first thing was somebody saying he can't really run around the whole world in one day. Even Sonic, he's not fast enough to do that and deliver all the presents. We have to give him something to make it better.
But to be fair, the trials that he completed didn't really make use of his speed abilities, right?
No, not at all.
I guess the triathlon, like he just kind of does a triathlon of like snowboarding, hang gliding, bicycling. Mm-hmm. And I guess the bicycling, he might go fast, even though it doesn't show him using his super speed, really.
Yeah.
But just snowboarding, Sally could have done that. Hang gliding, Sally could have done that. And biking at like, even like she could have completed the speed trials and gained the power of Santa Claus.
Yeah, if anything, Sonic the Hedgehog is the person who like least needed this gift, because he already has a super speed. He didn't need to get from like 99 to 100. This could have been anybody who could have gotten the gift of lightning fast super speed.
Wow, this is really like a min-max Dungeons and Dragons situation where like they should have shared the magical items, and instead the one character is going like, I'll have that one. Mm-hmm. I'll have that magic ring.
What do you think the other drawings underground are for? Because there wasn't just that one drawing.
Right.
There were a lot of drawings in the Christmas catacombs.
There was a lot of ancient magical math.
Mm-hmm. Probably explaining to Santa. Well, and also, how does Santa normally get around?
Bingo. We didn't see reindeer. We didn't see the sleigh.
Well, maybe those were included in the things that Robotnik stole. Oh, maybe that's why. He didn't have the reindeer or the sleigh.
They're probably all in big boxes underneath Robotnik's tree.
But that was the biggest mystery of this episode. Uh-huh. And I do think that it made the whole episode a little messier. Like, it almost like that string tried to put some, like, serious lore storytelling on this arc in a way that, like, it didn't need, and that this Looney Tunes show like didn't need. It just needed Sonic to be like, oh, I could save the day with my speed, and then all the kids go, that's what I was hoping you would do.
Right, exactly. And unlike the little kid who gets thrown into robot jail factory and then escapes, that's like an interesting unexplained lore.
Yeah, like why couldn't they have given us those scenes?
Right, we could have spent time on that instead, or something.
Do you think that kid had like magic teeth? Do you think he ripped open the
door? I think his teeth are his power. Yep. It's like, and if the camera panned over from the signet ring on the wall, we would see another drawing of like elf hat plus teeth equals this kid.
The factory exploding.
Yeah, exactly. he chewed his way out of the factory. Again, having not seen it, maybe it comes up later. Maybe there's a more... in this version of Sonic the Hedgehog about ancient secrets and
it would be amazing if from this point forward this show, The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, was about Sonic navigating his new role as Santa Claus. Not that Santa really has decided to retire.
That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. At least like you could get a 2 or 3 episode miniseries out of it.
What if this was the Santa Claus situation where this was the only way for Santa to get passed on? Like, Santa did have the Speed Force, but he needed someone else to claim it
right.
in order to move on.
Okay.
And so he saw the opportunity, like, oh man, if I give this to Sonic, I won't have to do this anymore.
Right.
Which is not how the Santa Claus goes. Of course, it's a much more tragic beginning.
Yes. Maybe in this world, the Santa powers accelerate your metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
And this Santa was 9 years old 2 years ago.
Whoa.
And he, in order to move that fast as a magically imbued human, he mm-hmm. has aged at an astonishing and heartbreaking rate. And so he really, maybe this mm-hmm. whole thing, maybe Santa worked out, you know, he tricked Sally. Santa gave Sally the ring mm-hmm. for Christmas
last year.
And then Sally got it out. And Santa, who knows whether you've been naughty or nice, knows how naughty Sonic is, mm-hmm. taking everybody's gifts. And he knew that Sonic would take the ring, but that he couldn't give him the ring directly for some reason. We don't know, you know.
I still like the idea that the original plan was for it to be Sally.
I like that, too.
I think that's, yeah, and Sonic's selfishness overtook.
But here's the one thing. I think, for whatever combination of reasons, Sonic has to be the one to receive the Santa powers because his body is already mutated in a way that enables him to withstand, like, enormous speed. Never ages for some mm-hmm. reason.
No, that makes a lot of sense. He does age because he becomes Uncle Chuck, but we can talk about that another time.
But, like, how many hundreds of years are we talking about?
Wait, what if this Speed Force is the time-traveling power that we've been waiting to see?
Boom! Okay, yes!
So really what... Yeah. Just like you're saying, it causes you to age. This Sonic receives a super speed power that doubles as a time-traveling power, which
yep.
is also... The kid who breaks out of the factory is this Santa Claus.
Yeah, we haven't connected all the dots yet, but somehow that is Santa.
That's Santa. This is the moment Sonic really becomes Uncle Chuck. It's also the moment that Sonic breaks the fourth wall. But since, I mean, they were giving us these fan theories, but they did break the seal, so we know this isn't actually canon.
Right.
Unfortunately.
They put a big red cap on it by saying, hey, you know what? This has been fun, but happy holidays, everybody.
I think that's enough wild speculation for today. Thanks again to Radio Sega for asking us to do this Winterfest episode, or we never would have visited this beautiful Christmas app.
Yeah, I don't know how long it would have taken us to see this, but this is a really cute episode. I really recommend watching this one, hopefully with a hot cup of chocolate.
Mm-hmm, right by the fire with your chestnut. You've got, like, chestnuts and a little bowl that you run your hands around mm-hmm. in, like those gel balls.
And your eyes are all aglow.
And the mouse are awake.
They're wide awake because everybody wants to watch Sonic the Hedgehog.
Uh-huh.
And why wouldn't they?
And if you are interested in secret Christmas lore, like mysterious Christmas facts from ancient civilizations,
mm-hmm.
Retiring Santa Clauses, and trials to allow someone to become the next Santa Claus. If you're interested in any of that, you might also like my book called Top Elf, which you can buy this Christmas.
I forgot to say up top of the show that you are a resident Christmas/Santa lore expert, having written an entire very good book that's called Top Elf, published by Scholastic. You can probably find it on Barnes & Noble featured tables this season. And it's really good and cute and funny, and Caleb mm-hmm. did a good job on it. And
if you need a gift for anybody, but especially a kid around yep. the ages of 8 to 12, it's a book that I think they would like.
Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed it even though I'm apparently older than 12,
mm-hmm.
Because I am... you know, just a big dumb kid at heart.
Whether you're 8, 12, or 812, this,
just like
this
me.
Is the book for you.
It is really good, and it was funny as we started watching this going, oh, they're going to announce that, okay, wow, there are like two very similar plot points to the book that you wrote, and then it turns very different after that.
Yes, but I clearly, this was incepted in my mind a long time ago, and I'm very happy for it.
I, for one, am like really proud to discover the way in which you have been incorporated into Sonic's extensive lore.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to find we're still on the lookout for the way in which I have been excessively influenced by Sonic the Hedgehog in the past.
Yeah, what is... I honestly think it's Sonic Underground and all of its music. I think that's you in there.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Yes, this has been your two show, our special Christmas episode. That's radiosega.ga/winterfest.
Thanks again to Radio Sega. Thank you to Dave Donkin and Goodnight Productions for our theme song, which I presume we'll still use, even though we should maybe do a holiday-themed... Mm-hmm. song. I probably won't find one.
Thank you to Nick Splinter for building a new, fresh, original mashup of our usual theme song with some classic Christmas music. I really appreciate all the work that you put into that. It was incredible.
It's gonna be me singing Christmas lyrics on top of that melody, so get
I think that's
ready.
Perfect.
Hope you enjoyed it, which I won't do. And thank you to Caleb Zane Hewitt for... you know, just being you, bud.
Aw, thank holidays. You, Happy Nick Splinter. I just love your gifts. Thank you so much for your gift.
I'm glad I could give you a gift, finally.
And as always, I'm Caleb Zane Hewitt.
I'm Nick Splinter.
And your two show.
Snow! Got you, dude. Got you, dude. And Sonic's like, I don't know any Mr. Sonic, but you can just call me regular Sonic.
I don't spray water on things, like, lightly, and like, in, like, a gentle drizzle. That's the joke that I should have done at the beginning.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
No. No, that's not what I meant.
Carry on.
I give you a beautiful gift. The kid
people
says,
say that to me a lot.
Thank you for your beautiful gift.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know why, but it does. It is said to me a lot.
Joy to the world. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear? Deck the halls with boughs of holly. When I deck the, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, will you let it? Little drummer boy, little drummer boy, little drummer boy. Oh, little drummer, all I show for Christmas is to...